Well, it's great to be with you this morning, and if you're a visitor here, we just want to welcome you, and we'd love to get to know you better. I invite you to take out your pew Bible and turn to Mark chapter 14, verses 27 through 40. It's going to be found on page 887 in your pew Bible. Before we read God's Word, let us go to God in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray this morning that you would bless this reading of your word. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Please listen to God's word. You will all fall away, Jesus told them, speaking here to his disciples. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter declared, Even if all fall away, I will not. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, today. Yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. But Peter insisted emphatically, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the others said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Then he turned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. A number of years ago, a small town in northeastern Pennsylvania decided to build a building that would house in the one structure the post office, the fire department, and the city council. The town hired a local contractor to construct the brick building, and they eventually were able to put it up. And when they got the project completed, the entire town came to the celebration, and they had a ribbon-cutting celebration. It was a brand new facility for this town. A few months afterwards, they began to notice that there were cracks in the brick on the exterior of the building. On the inside, they began to notice that doors would not shut properly. And eventually, they discovered that there were cracks in the flooring of this building. Eventually, the city had to condemn it. And the person, the contractor who built this building, was tremendously embarrassed by all of this. They couldn't understand, why did this happen? Well, as it turns out, the reason that this building became condemned and started to crack is because a few miles away, there was some mining that was going on. And underneath the ground, there were slow cracks that were developing. No one could see the cracks. No one could hear the cracks, but they were developing. And the foundation became unstable and eventually led to this cracking. As we think of that story as an illustration this morning, we need to think about our own lives. The foundation of our lives is what? The foundation of our lives should be our faith in Jesus Christ. And our part of that foundation should be living out that faith in the world. This morning we need to ask, though, and we need to think about, what are the cracks that are developing in our own lives? And we need to think about this passage in relationship to that those cracks, because we see here these disciples who fall away. Now, when we think about following Christ, we know that it is not an easy task. It's not a cakewalk. There are going to be times when our faith is weak and we're going to need God's help. There are going to be times when we're heartbroken. Maybe we'll be sick, or maybe we will face the death of a friend or a loved one. Surely, cracks will come to our lives. So this morning, we need to be thinking about how those cracks can be repaired. And we need to think about them in terms of what this passage has to teach us. What do we see here in this passage? We hear about the disciples falling away from Jesus. Just prior to this passage, we have the Lord's Supper. And we learn in the Lord's Supper that one of the disciples was going to reject Jesus. Judas, right? But what we're told here in this passage is that all the disciples will desert Jesus. And then we learn that together as a group, they were walking to the Mount of Olives. And as they're walking, Jesus tells them. He tells them this news, that not one of them will remain faithful. Jesus quotes here in this passage an Old Testament verse from the book of Zechariah. He says, "I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." This is a prophecy to Jesus' death on the cross, and then what will happen to his disciples. They will be scattered. They will desert him. They will be unfaithful. This is as we think about this, Jesus saying this, think about the disciples' feelings at this point. They are shocked that Jesus is saying this to them. They can't imagine that they would not be faithful to him. They weren't happy to hear what Jesus is saying. They were upset about it. They were angry about it. And we even see Peter's denials of it. There is a glimmer of hope in this passage, and we see it in verse 28. What do we see there in verse 28? We see another prediction made by Jesus. He predicts his resurrection from the dead. And he says, after he is raised, he will go ahead of them to Galilee. So, in other words, what Jesus is saying is, okay, you will fall away, but there will be another time when we will come together when we are in Galilee. So he has a quite negative message for him, but there is a future opportunity for renewal and restoration when they meet again in Galilee. In verses 29 through 31, we learn about Peter's denials here. We learn about his future denials of Jesus. And we also see here his insistence that he will never deny him. At the end of verse 31, we learn that all the other disciples vowed that they would never deny Jesus. Besides Judas, they were all intent on remaining loyal to Jesus. This is something that is not easy for us today. It's not an easy path, remaining faithful to Jesus. We face challenges. We face temptations. Perhaps you're here this morning and you're going through this right now. Perhaps you feel that you have fallen short. You have failed in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to say something to you today if you feel like that. God can help you. Jesus can restore you. He can repair the cracks that have slowly come into your life. Jesus can renew our spirits. He can indeed strengthen a faith that is weak. He can overcome our doubts. And His Holy Spirit can give us comfort when we're grieving. His Holy Spirit can give us help when we are heartbroken. One pastor put it like this. He said, some flowers, such as the rose, must be crushed if their full fragrance is to be released. Some fruits, such as the sycamore, must be bruised if they are to attain ripeness and sweetness. Some metals, such as gold, must be heated in the furnace if they are to become pure. And then he adds, the attaining of godliness, the process of becoming a mature Christian, requires similar special handling. It is often through pain, suffering, trouble, adversity, trials, and even temptation that we develop spiritual discipline and become refined and enriched. Whatever we may go through, remember that God can build us up. He can help us. Jesus said himself that we are his friends and we need to rely on his strength. We need to rely on his mercy. When we are in a period of doubt, we need to go to him. When we are despairing, we need to trust in his promises. The great challenge for the church is that too often we like to rely on our own strength, our own wisdom, our own abilities. And yet we need to remember that we must not rely on our own strength, but rather his. We need to also remember that he can remove temptations that come into our lives. You know, we struggle with temptation. Jesus can help us overcome temptations. He can give us the strength to overcome. He can repair the cracks that may be welling up on the inside of you even now, even here this morning. As the disciples and Jesus arrived at the olive grove named Gethsemane, Jesus took several of his disciples, and what did he do? What did we learn here in this passage? He went to pray. Jesus here in this passage is troubled deeply by the fact that he is going to the cross. The Father's plan is that he is going to the cross, and he is overwhelmed by this horror. He knows that he is going to spill his own blood. He knows that he's going to die on the cross, and he is upset about this. So what does Jesus do here in the midst of this great challenge in his life? What does he do? He prays. We need to be people of prayer as well as we face challenges in our lives. You know, we have here Jesus praying, but we're also reminded here in this passage that Jesus was faithful. What did he do? He went to the cross. Even though he was deeply troubled by it, even though he was overwhelmed at his upcoming death, his impending death, he did what the Father asked, the Father's will. This is something that is known as what? The active obedience of Christ. And without the active obedience of Christ, there is no hope for you and there's no hope for me. Because Christ was actively obedient to the Father and went to the cross, we can have our sins forgiven. So we have hope. But we also have hope for eternal life because he defeated death in the resurrection. But as we think of Jesus here in this passage, we're reminded of prayer. Donald English put it like this. He said, prayer is about wrestling with the big issues, about prolonged time in God's presence, precisely away from the pressures of life's activities. I think prayer is something that each one of us can work on as we seek to follow Jesus. We can all grow in this area. So this morning, as we think of this passage, and as we think of the challenges we face in our lives, and the temptations, and the heartbreak, we need to be people of prayer. So I want to raise the bar this morning here at Avery, and I want to encourage you to be a person of prayer. Pastor Andrew Murray said, little of the word, meaning the Bible, with little prayer is death to the spiritual life. Much of the word with little prayer gives a sickly life, he adds. Much prayer with little word gives emotional life. But a full measure of both the word and prayer each day gives a healthy and powerful life. You know, I know that this is something that we struggle with. We struggle with prayer. We struggle with going to God with our problems because too often we think we know better, right? We don't need God's help. This is the human problem. This is our own rebelliousness. This is our own disobedience, right? And when we are disobedient to God, we break God's heart. So this morning, I want us to be thinking about how can we go to God more often and truly be people of prayer. This is what we're called to be. But we also need to be here at Avery, each one of us. Not only do we need to be people of prayer, but we also need to be people of the Word. And that's what we try to do here. This is what we are about. We try to be as best as possible here in the life of the church, Bible-believing Christians. We try to have Bible classes for Sunday school. We try to read God's Word and understand it in worship. But you know what? Sunday morning is not enough. And when we think about this passage this morning, we need to be people of prayer and people of the Word all the other days of the week as well. This is the challenge before us. And this is what I want to challenge you with this morning as well. One of our goals as believers, as we think of this passage, is to be authentic. We should truly want to live out the Christian faith wherever we go, in the workplace, in our family, in our relationships. We should also want to be real with each other. Right? We need to be real with God, but we also need to be real with each other. And too often, we have masks on. Too often we hide the cracks that exist in our lives. Too often we come here and we pretend like everything is okay. But just like that building that was slowly undergoing all these different cracks, that's how our lives can be. So what I want you to do, if you're experiencing that, is try to find a mentor. Try to find someone who can help with whatever struggle you're going through. Share with them the struggle that you're going through. Share with church leaders something that you need to have prayed about. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to encourage you. And I would like to say to the congregation, encourage the leaders of the church. Encourage the session. Encourage the pastor. This is a ministry. The life of the church is a team ministry where we are all working together to do what Christ has called us to do. But we need to be real with each other. And we need to remember, as we experience doubts, as we experience despair in our faith, we need to remember, please remember this, don't leave here today forgetting this, right? Remember that in the midst of our darkness sometimes, God can do his best work. We look at some of the great defenders of the Christian faith, great defenders of the Bible. We think of people like C.S. Lewis. We think of people like N.T. Wright. We think of all sorts of individuals all the way down through church history. And what do we do? What do we see oftentimes in their lives? These are not people that were just automatically, oh, faith is easy. I'm just going to be a great advocate for Christ in our world. And there's no struggles. No. If we look at their lives, oftentimes what we see is that these are individuals who have gone through great struggles, great trials. They have even gone through long periods of doubt. And yet God can use those experiences to his glory. God can use those experiences to draw people closer to himself. So, as we think about our doubts this morning, think about it maybe like this. Think of it in terms of, you know, we see big construction, right? We know we have highways over here, big concrete structures. And what's on the inside of those concrete structures? We have all sorts of construction people here. What's on the inside? Rebar. Malcolm Muggeridge said that doubt can be like the rebar in those concrete edifices. That's what it can be in terms of our faith. Because what does doubt do? It can cause us to dig deeper. It can cause us to seek after Christ more and more. It can cause us to be unhappy with mere superficial Christian faith. Okay, I am way off of where I wanted to be here, but let me just close. Let me just close saying that authenticity is so important for us as believers in Christ. We need authentic intimacy with God, and we need to live out our faith authentically as well. Today in our passage, we've seen how the disciples have fallen away, failed to live out their relationship with God incarnate. This morning, I want to invite you to make some decisions in your life so that you do not get in this situation. What choices do you need to make to be a more consistent or a more faithful believer in Christ? Think about it. What decisions do you need to make? Don't leave here today not making those decisions. Do whatever it takes, and we will help you with this. Do whatever it takes to be a more faithful follower of Christ. As you do that, you will encourage each other, we will encourage each other, and we will be a more faithful witness as the body of Christ, as a church, to our community. This morning I want to ask as well, what cracks do you need repaired? Each one of us has cracks in our life. Jesus can heal those cracks. But we need to allow Him. We need to be open to His working in our lives. As we move forward together, may the Holy Spirit build you up. And may you run the race of faith with perseverance. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray this morning that You would build us up as a congregation. But also, Lord, we pray that You would heal our wounds and repair the cracks in our lives. Lord, help us to truly honor and glorify You. Help us to truly be authentic with You and with each other, and help us to be Your advocates in the world around us. Help us to be heralds of Your good news wherever we go. Lord, we know that sometimes it's not so much what we say to others, but it's the gardening work that goes on before. Help us to share Your love with those in our neighborhoods and our communities. Help us to be Your hands and feet as we seek to be faithful in our lives. Lord, we pray this morning that You would help us to be consistent Christians. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.